Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with
Sarah Marshall. I'm adjunct faculty at Georgetown University.
Awesome. And we are here talking today. My colleague Rick Massimo suggested we talk about how the coronavirus shutdown is affecting, well, I've done a couple pieces on how it's affecting local theaters, but I thought this would be a unique slice of life deal on how it's affecting acting teachers at universities. That's a whole nother little slice of this that is being impacted here. So thanks for joining us. Let's try to move a little bit, maybe move a little chronologically here. You know, the coronavirus hits, you know, what in the quote unquote before times, the normal world, what classes were you teaching at Georgetown?
I was teaching two Acting 1 classes and team teaching an advanced acting workshop with my colleague and dear friend, Kate Eastwood Norris.
Okay. And how many days a week would that usually be for you?
4 days a week when I was doing the advanced acting class. And then right before spring break, she took over, bless her. And then I was teaching 2 days a week as we went into spring break.
Plus, I guess, like office hours and stuff too on top of that.
Pardon me?
And then I guess office hours and stuff on top of that, grading, all that stuff.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay, cool. So then, that was sort of, your typical teaching load. So when did the coronavirus actually, shut you guys down? Remind us, when did George sort of make the call?
Okay, so I came, I left town for spring break, and spring break hadn't even actually happened, or it was the first day into it. So if spring break starts on a Saturday. I got an email from the chair of the department asking, on a scale of 1 to 3, how ready would you be to move your classes onto a Zoom platform? And I thought, that doesn't sound good. And actually, Derek Goldman, he's a dear friend, and I had visited I'd stopped into his office a couple of weeks prior to that because we're going to teach class in the fall together, and he had just been at a meeting with the deans of the school and the management of the school, and he said, I feel like we're 15 minutes into a sci-fi horror film. And
yeah.
I said, what? And he said, yeah, I wonder if we will come back after spring break. The school is really worried about this coronavirus. And I mean, I've been paying attention to it, of course. So I thought, okay, all right. So it wasn't totally out of the blue when he wrote and said, on a scale, and he was writing the entire department. So I wrote back after he wrote on a scale of 1 to 3, I said, maybe I'm a 2. I feel like I could take my classes into an online platform, and I could certainly create content, but I don't know Zoom, so I don't know how I'll be with the technology. And he wrote back and said, I think you're a 3, 1 being not so ready and 2 being kind of ready and 3 being very ready. If I think that was the breakdown. And so he put me in as a 2 because that was my request. Then the next day, I heard that the chaplain at the church in Georgetown, the Episcopal Church, the minister at the church, had contracted the virus and was at GU Hospital. And I thought, we're done. We're not going back. I'm pretty sure we're not going back. So then, like within a day again, he said, I need to know right now. Everybody, let me know right now so that's like by Sunday or Monday, he's now in a more pressing mode for us to reply to this scale of 1 to 3. So by Wednesday, there was an all department meeting, and he said, we're probably going to be going online, so let's all meet. And then within like 24 hours of that, I'm being instructed by Candles, which is the campus, online instruction, and they're instructing me into Zoom, and off we went. And then I started thinking, okay, when are they going to cancel the show? I'm supposed to start rehearsing a week after we get back. And we did not skip a beat. We went right into classes right after spring break with a lot of leeway and a lot of trying to be understanding that students were coming and going and might not be able to get into the class because they were moving. We went right into classes. A lot of schools skipped a week. There was some concern and complaints by faculty and students that Georgetown did not, but they didn't. That was their choice, and we were very, very lenient over the first 2 weeks at least, and we kind of still are, actually, because there's connectivity issues. And
sure.
It took forever for people to just get home or get to where they could be settled. That took 2 or 3 weeks for all that to iron out.
So you're saying most students, they're not just, staying in like dorms at Georgetown. Most left and went to their home states, or where are they zooming in from? I guess like how many different states are they zooming in from?
All over the world. I have a student in Japan. I have a who logs in at 10 o'clock, I believe, because my class is at 9 a.m. I have a student in California. She's up at 6. I mean, she's in class at 6 o'clock, 6 a.m.
Wow.
Some are still around Georgetown. Many of them went home to their families. My sister, who has quite a brood of chicks, they all went home to her in Texas. So people, students all over the country. Now, some of them couldn't go home or didn't choose to go home, or maybe they're not in great home situations, and so they struggled to find other places to be.
Wow. So it took a couple of weeks for everyone to, let's say, get settled to their new quote-unquote homes, for temporary homes for now. But you didn't miss any class. You kept it going. You hit the ground running that first month.
Exactly. As if we didn't, as if we were coming back to the university right after spring break.
Wow. So did you? I've done a couple of the Zoom calls, like my family did it, for instance, on Easter. We all called and, do the little mode where you can see everyone's face at the same time. How many students are on your screen, at the same time? Is it like that Brady Bunch, Hollywood Squares?
It's more like Hollywood Squares to me, but very Brady Bunch, very Hollywood Squares. There are 13 of us together when everybody is present. In one class and 10 in the other class. So it's not horrible. I have heard from students that a lot of their professors are just recording themselves, either reading from a book or, frankly, sort of droning on in a lecture. I'm not the lecture type, believe it or not. I'm not. And so even though I seem to be blabbing up a storm right now, So they're really bored in those classes. Those are asynchronous classes. You can watch the recording or the lecture at any time. Mine are synchronous classes, although when students are not there, I record them and send them to them. And Zoom also offers a transcript, so they can watch the recording and read a transcript of the class at the same time.
Gotcha. Man, that sounds complicated but fascinating that you guys are actually able to kind of pull that off. What's been, let's say, like the biggest challenges? I mean, technical difficulties, or do you find that you guys are sort of talking over each other? Any glitches, or what's been the hardest part of it?
As you said, the hardest part is connectivity issues. People get bounced off. People can't get in. My stress level to begin with the first few weeks, I'm calmer about it now, and also have sort of resolved that if I get bumped because I'm in a rural place, or if anybody gets bumped, that's just so be it. They're allowed to take the class pass-fail. I cannot have the same kind of strictures as I have had when we were face-to-face and we were all together. It just can't. But really just, or we're trying to do scenes and you can't quite hear them. somebody's doing a monologue and they're fading in and out and you hear every fourth word, it's really frustrating. It's really frustrating. But
now
we're
you
managing.
Said you've, yeah, for sure. Yeah. So you said you've been calling in from a rural area. Where are you staying? Where are you based? Like what city or
I'm
county?
In the panhandle of West Virginia. I'm up in West Virginia. I came
gotcha.
Up here for spring break and I just never left.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. So what I'm trying to even visualize it. I mean, I can imagine all the, you know, the students on screen. What sort of acting exercises or lessons are you even doing? I mean, is it mostly you talking or is there actual, you know, them getting up and, you know, moving around and acting things out?
So we were lucky enough to be in the middle of a section of the course that's monologues. And so we reframed them for the screen, looked at all of them, had everybody chime in and participate in evaluating what the look of them would be, and if we could see them, if they could move around. And then we all observed them doing their monologues and evaluated them as we would have if they were in the class. Some of them have come up with extraordinarily fun and fascinating creative ways to present their monologues, and all of them participate. But they would be participating in the room as well. I'm pretty it's important to me that they all have input because my observation, although I'm a studied and expert, there's also, it's great to have them, because they'll see things I don't see, so it's good to have all the input of everybody in the space, or on the screen, as it is now.
Gotcha. Now, are these freshmen, sophomores, and where, you know, where in the schooling?
All sorts, freshmen to senior, and some of them are graduating and will not be walking, and some of them will never see their friends again in at the university in real time. It's sad. It's hard on them.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. We know that this summer classes will be online, and we're waiting to hear about the fall.
So, yes, I guess there's no – that. I mean, that's the extent of what you know. I mean, it seems like there's so much unknown here just – nationally and, you know, state and citywide, it's almost impossible to plan. Like, I couldn't ask you, are you coming back in the fall? No, right?
No, I don't know. Well, hopefully maybe by June, but who knows, because if there is a second wave, I'm sure the university doesn't want to bring a university full of students and then say, go home. So they're doing their best. They're keeping watch of everything and making decisions as we all are, kind of as we go along.
Wow. All right, so you're doing monologues right now. What else do you have planned for the rest of the semester? Like what other, you know, lessons or exercises might they be doing remotely?
Yeah, we've moved on to scenes, and they are not as successful. I'm kind of just trying to keep the class going in the manner that I had intended to do it in the room. And so we spent way more time on the monologues, and now we only have really three more classes. Classes are over next week, and so we started scene work a couple of weeks ago, and then I did one-on-one work with them all last week, hours and hours of labs, where it would just be two people in a scene and me, so not the Hollywood Square Brady Bunch look. And that was extremely effective. I really liked that. I learned from that. That maybe if I have to do this some more, I'm going to break the classes down a little bit more and meet with them more privately, not as a group so much maybe. But so as I said, now we're doing scenes, not so successfully as monologues. Two people, you know, they have different backgrounds, but they're supposed to be in the same space. So one of them's in a kitchen and one of them's in a living room and. It's odd. And the section of this class is all about interplay, which is really impossible on screen. They're coming up with...
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, it's just ironically that the last unit of my course is about interplay.
Like a cruel joke by the universe.
Yeah, really, a cruel joke, which we all lack. right now. Enterprise.
Yeah. All right. So wait, real quick. You said that your last class is one day next week. What day is the last day?
Monday.
Oh, Monday's the last day. Okay.
Last day of class for the university. The last day, I believe, is Tuesday.
Okay. Because I want to make sure I'll run it then, I guess, Monday or Tuesday, so we don't get too far behind. You know what I mean? I think it would be more timely. Yeah. I'll move it up. Okay, cool. Well, we hop off here. You know, maybe give me a little background yourself. You know, how long have you know? When did you start acting yourself? You know, where did you study or begin taking it mostly as a career? How long you've been teaching the whole shebang?
I began acting as an adolescent. I studied acting in college at a small liberal arts school in Birmingham, Alabama. I came to D.C. after that to study with a woman named Joy Zinnemann at the Studio Theater. I thought her name was Joyce. And then I took all of the classes there, and then I started acting. I was a maid. I made my living as a maid. And then I got a company membership out at Roundhouse Theater back in the day when it was at Bushy Drive in Kensington. And I was a company member there for, you know, 2-3 years and started teaching then. Joy asked me to be a teacher at the studio. I started teaching there. I started teaching at Woolley. And then I got a job at Duke Ellington School and taught there for some years. And then Don Murphy came up to me in a talk back after a show at Studio one day and said, would you like to teach at Georgetown? And I said, oh, yes, I would. And then I left Duke Ellington and moved to Georgetown to teach. And I've been back and forth I've been teaching at Georgetown for nearly 30 years and all that time also going back to Duke Ellington over the years as well. I live in Georgetown, so it's great because they're both really close to where I live. And never studied to be a teacher, never wanted to be a teacher. I say that acting is my calling and teaching is my fate. But I'm grateful, really, really grateful that I had that fate because I do love it and enriches my work and I really love the kids, so yeah, I'm grateful.
Wow. Well, acting might be your calling, and your fate is you have to do it by calling now. So that's the perfect place to leave it. Thanks so much.